Barbara, a compulsive reader. I came to my first meeting in April of 1976, 50 years ago, coming up very close. It's just amazing. Briefly, I was always a compulsive reader. I was, first time anybody laughed at me for weight, I was in third grade. And by the time I graduated high school, it was horrible. I mean, I grad I'm my highest I was 170 pounds when I graduated high school. I was 5'3". I'm now 5'2". I lost height. So anyway, it was bad. Went to college, determined. I starved off, determined to be better, to have college not be as bad as it was, and it was better. I didn't know about OA for a long time. But anyway, I went and I had been on a diet by myself. It was great until I went home for the holidays and then I started binging. I didn't understand about the first bite. Just didn't get it. Barely graduated college. And what's important about that is I almost didn't graduate because of denial. I was drinking and binging. And I almost didn't pass a required class. I did pass by the skin of my teeth, but that was, and that's when I learned about the power of denial. It just shocking to me that I could possibly be, let me turn this off. Okay, there. Could possibly be in denial that if I don't do the work, I'm not going to pass. I mean, that was just totally not in my, but I did. Oh, I made a ring. There was extenuating circumstances. I met my husband. My husband accepted me as being slightly overweight. So we got married. And we've been married 52 years now, thanks to OA. Okay, so I first heard about OA with from the, it was Vice columnist at the time, and I was turned off by the literature because it said God. And I thought, so I stayed away from meetings for 2 years because of the God stuff. And I thought, well, this is a religion. I can't do it. So I went to my third round in the diet clubs. There were two different ones. And started binging and gained more weight. I was fatter at the end of the diet clubs than I was when I started. So there you go. It did not work. It worked in the reverse. So finally, I wrote to World Service and I got, and I said, okay, I saw an ad in the paper. I went to a meeting and I said, well, I'm just going to have to deal with this God stuff because, and at that time, meetings closed with the Lord's Prayer. I mean, that nobody thought there was anything wrong with that. I did from the beginning, but anyway, that got changed. More or less with the conference later. So I just kept coming back. There was no other place to go. And the other members, now where I lived in Western Mass. I know there's people from Massachusetts here. I was in Amherst, Northampton. And people were pretty, shall we say, there was a diversity there. So I could feel comfortable at meetings and I started calling people and it broke my isolation. I was very, very isolated. When I'm binging, I just hide out in my house and all that stuff. So, kept coming back, found a sponsor, got my first abstinence. And, let's see, I made it my first abstinence. I made it I had my first slip. It was New Year's that year. And then I did lose all of my weight. And by the end of 77, I was at my goal weight and moved to Texas. So, I don't do well with moving. And so I moved to Texas. And what happened was I was, and I started struggling with the food. And then when I mean, it was just, and to give you an idea, I binged off and on for 6.5 years. The first inventory I did, the first inventory I did was a quarter of a page, told to my sponsor, and then I did a more extensive one later, trying to prevent going into relapse. This was in the fall of 77, tried to prevent it. And I wasn't able to. I was abstinent, woke up in the middle of the night crying. And I said, I've had enough of this growth stuff. And with that thought, my relapse started. I didn't pick up for a few weeks, but I picked up. I said, well, I can binge on, if it isn't sugar, I can binge on it and get away with it. Well, I didn't get away with it. It was 6 months before I wanted to stop binging, and it was another 9 months after that before I was able to stop binging. And I never stopped going to meetings. So that was my first of many relapses. I can't even tell you how many there were. And I'm going to fast forward a little bit because I have a lot of story and not much time. At a certain point, I moved to Germany. My husband was in the military, and I kept meetings going by myself, basically, because everybody would go home for the summer, when school was out. And I just kept coming back. I had a cassette tape of OA speakers. That's how long ago this was, 1982, 83. And at the end of that summer, a woman came into the meeting, and I took one look at her and I said, that's my sponsor. So I asked her to sponsor me, and she did. Now, this sponsor was trying to convert me to Christianity. And what I did was subtly just not address the issue. I just very quietly avoided the topic. What happened ultimately is she became angry at me. I worked all 12 steps. I did inventory. I worked all 12 steps, and I got my current abstinence August of 1983. Okay. Worked all 12 steps secularly, kind of stealthily. And she was very angry. She became very angry with me because I got recovery without the God stuff. She's very angry about that. I just reinterpreted, I reworded and reinterpreted the literature so that it made sense to me. And for, there was a book that came out in the 1970s I can mention after the meeting, but it opened me up to the idea that there is such a thing as a gender-neutral higher power. And I said, oh, okay. So I just started figuring out how to make things make sense to me. Like step three is particularly difficult. For example, well, how do I turn my life and my will over? Well, one way to do that would be to accept that reality is a power greater than myself. And accept that reality. So that's a way of working step three, briefly. And to her credit, my sponsor did apologize to me for being angry. She admitted she was angry that about that. So that was the beginning of my abstinence, and I never stopped coming to meetings. So I moved from Germany and moved to San Francisco. I've lived like a whole bunch of places, and I've always had to just kind of start over. But I was always able to find people in the meetings. Now, we didn't have secular meetings in 1980s. We didn't exist. So let's be real here. So I had to find individuals that I felt comfortable with, and I've lived most of the places I've lived. There, I don't know, we just sort of figured out who we were. I don't know, there was just this intuitive, and I would make friends, but I would have to be patient. I'd have to take time, okay, take time and kind of reach out to people. One of the motions that was coming up was about adding, I put my hand in yours to the Well, in those days, it was the Lord's Prayer. And I have spoken against that day one. I mean, I knew that was not okay. And that was a reason for me not to come to meetings. I didn't want to come to meetings. And I'm very grateful that conference did change the policy to make it easier for meetings to say, well, we're going to close with something else, So anyway, but I have been attacked. I've been attacked because I don't have the common belief. I have been attacked because I don't eat food the same way that other people do. I do moderate meals, and a lot of people don't do that. And I know the tradition three. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. There's no belief requirement, there's no food requirement. And as to quote a former trustee from way back when, you can't kick me out. And if a meeting becomes uncomfortable, I just go to another meeting. Just do. I've always done that. That's been a very, very important part. If individuals are uncomfortable with me, I just kind of stay away, or I just quietly don't deal with the issue. And I've had to do this for almost 50 years. It's just the way it is. So I got my abstinence, and I'm going to share about, in abstinence, I lost both of my parents, lost both my husband's parents, and the, when I lost my father, that's when it hit me hard. And, how I dealt with that was I wrote every morning, uncensored. And that would give me enough emotional comfort, or, calming for 20 up to 24 hours. Okay. That was how I did it. And this went on for 2 years. And that's pretty average timing for a close death in the family. That's pretty average. And I had two sponsees at the time. One was very new agey kind of person, and the other one was somebody who ultimately became converted to Orthodox Judaism. I think Orthodox, but certainly conservative. But anyway, but these people were very open-minded in a lot of ways. So I always got support from people. And the other thing was, so I lost my father, and I didn't eat over it. Another time, and this would be in 2009, I developed a medical problem. The medical problem caused me to have to lose my job as an artist. My steady hand went away. And I went into horrible depression, did no art at all. I was a professional for maybe 10 to 12 years. And I had to adjust to reality. Reality is a power greater than ourselves. I heard that at a region assembly in 1987 and never forgot it. And reality, well, I had to change my art. Well, in the meantime, while I was working that out, I got involved in the OA service structure. I went to region and world service. So that was a very important part of my recovery, to do OA service above the group level at the international level. I miss going to conference. I really enjoy it. It's very interesting to me. But the first years I went to conference, we were fighting over food plans. And I thought, oh, I'm never going back. Well, I did go back, obviously. After my mother died in 2011. She died while I was in OA service. And I found a lot of support from my colleagues, and it was just so critically important to me, to have that support, even though none of these people were secular. Well, no, that's not true. There were people. I've always run into secular-oriented people, one or two, here and there, and just knowing that they exist was helpful to me to keep going. And then they would give me ideas about how to reinterpret the literature from a more secular perspective. And I encourage anybody here, please submit something to the secular reader coming up, the June deadline. We need more. We need a lot more. We've got 150 so far as I know. But anyway, and that is, because I always had to go outside of OA to find literature that I could identify with. Always had to go outside, and I've done that a lot. Another thing that has helped me a lot, in getting through difficult times is to what I do what I call a research project. So let's say I have an issue. Let's say it's grief, whatever. And I read any kind of literature I can find on that topic. And I have a lot of books. And that helps me get new ideas about how to think about difficult things like step three. That's a toughie. You know, how do I think about that in a different way? And I share this with people, with my sponsees. Now, the interesting thing about my sponsees is they're all maybe more open-minded, shall we say, religious people. They have to be if they're going to work with me. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with. And I've actually been able to sponsor very religious people. And that gets to be a little tricky. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So there you go. What else can I say? I think that's really pretty much all I have. I'm sorry I'm a little spacey today. I hope that you got something out of what I shared in my past.